Hi, this is Doug Gray of the Marshall Tucker Band. Always keep your eyes open for motorcycles. This message is brought to you by my buddies at Long Island Abate.
Your Island, live and local, with your host, Tom Shalero, on 103.9 LI News Radio.
And once again, welcome back as we round third, heading up to the 2 o'clock hour here on our last day of the week. Now, this segment of our program is being brought to you by the CSEA, the Civil Service Employees Association. They are New York's leading public service union. Folks working together to make New York a better place for all of us. CSEA represents 265,000 workers in the great state of New York. 48,000 of them can be found right here on Long Island. They are your bus drivers, groundskeepers, and clerical staff. They plow and pave your streets, clean your office buildings. They provide child care, care for the mentally and physically disabled. From Buffalo to Brookhaven, CSEA members work hard for all of us. They never quit serving our communities and fighting for working people. Nick LaMorte, president. Once again, talking about a very, very important subject, and that's autism. And I'm with the co-founders of SASE, Suffolk Asperger's Autism Support and Information Group, support, educate, advocate, very, very important objectives, Priscilla Arena, Stephanie Mendelson, both co-founders, and just a world of information. Now, we're going to take one call. We got Suzanne over there in Mount Sinai. Suzanne, you are on the air.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing just great.
Good. I first want to just say, Priscilla and Stephanie, you guys, what you do is amazing, and you really should be commended for the selflessness that you put out there for this community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know how I feel about you. I just really wanted to bring up the family aspect of this. You know, this is a situation and a condition that affects the entire family, including
so
the siblings of our children. So I know that I have personally attended some of the sibling support meetings, and I was hoping that maybe you could talk about that so the people that are listening in can also know that that is another wonderful piece of what both of you ladies have done.
That's very, very true. Thank you, Suzanne.
Yeah, thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
We started the sibling support group, which usually happens every other month. That's usually up on our Facebook page or our website, because we recognize and realize that it does impact the entire family. Again, don't quote me specifically on this, but there are divorce rates of 80%. Specifically,
as a result of having a diagnosis,
it's very, very stressful. You know, both just the regular stress of it and the financial stress of it as well, because it costs between $1.4 and $2.4 million to raise an autistic child. But the siblings themselves, your other children, are impacted by that sibling that has autism. In some cases, we have there's someone in my Stella, this is for you. I don't know if you're listening, and Charlie. But there were triplets, you know, two boys are on the spectrum, and one neurotypical daughter, another, father who has, again, twins seem to be very prevalent in our community, neurotypical daughter, very, severely autistic son who the other night just had his first, seizure for the first time. But how those children really get, I feel, lost in the shuffle. There is definitely some anger. They feel a tremendous amount of guilt. We wanted to provide them a place that is judgment-free, that other siblings can relate to. So the questions, they can actually ask each other, and some of these questions are really heart-wrenching, like, you know, does your brother or sister ever say they're going to kill themselves?
Wow.
You know, you ask about, you know, the jealousy factor and the time factor. And so this is a way for them to sort of come together and purge and get out their feelings as well and gain their support.
And now, is there a lot of participation when you have these sibling support groups?
It's quite amazing, actually.
It is, and it's grown quite a bit.
Yeah.
And we try to keep it informal and fun for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually really do enjoy coming, and we get a lot of, even though we get new people each time,
we get
the
same
ones
people
coming back.
Right.
Okay. The kids want to come.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about, like, I have obviously a son with autism, and he has a twin sister who does not. They're eight now. I try to look at things from her perspective. You know, so he can sometimes do things that can be embarrassing to her.
Yes.
Or behave in certain ways that she feels embarrassed by, or that she doesn't totally understand at her age. And she also doesn't understand why she'll tell me sometimes, why does he get away with X, Y, Z? And I'm held accountable for
that's
everything.
Very often.
And how do I say to her, well, it's because I can't constantly say it's because of his autism. So it's a balance, and it's challenging as a parent to make sure that all your children's needs are getting met.
Is there any truth to a few of the families that I know that are dealing with autism? It just seems if they have three or four children that at least two of them are afflicted. Is that just a coincidence, or is there any statistics to go with? I mean, I know it's a tough question.
Okay, so there's a few things that we sort of uncovered. And I've talked about this before, you know, if the father, and this is by a research scientist for the Simons Foundation, this is not just loosey-goosey, but if the mother has any kind of autoimmune disease, prevalence of autism is extremely high.
So that could be a valid
Absolutely.
Point.
Yeah,
yes.
They have definitely found genes that contribute to autism. Okay. I mean, they're doing a tremendous amount of research on this. And to be honest, we can spend days and days arguing about the why of autism. Mm-hmm. We feel like our job has been to address the what. What do we do with the children that are
Agreed.
Here? How do we bring services to them and make their lives better? The one thing we all agree on is that the best outcomes for children with autism happen to the ones that get diagnosed early and get early intervention. My son is doing, despite his challenges, is doing extremely well. He's had services since he's two. We need to bring that to everyone because that makes the difference. So we'll let the researchers and everybody else argue about the why.
Agreed. That's not, you know, people ask me often because, you know, we are a non-for-profit and we have to raise money. And when you go into the land of autism, there's a lot of grants out there only specifically geared to the research aspect of it, which is not something that we do. What we concentrate on is the meat and potatoes of the child is here. Now let's give the parents and families what they actually need that are vital, you know, for the successful outcome. So, you know, and families in
exactly.
total.
Okay. Our number here is 631-451-1039. I remember spending some time with a family that had two of the children, and it's a handful. I mean, the way the kids react and the hyperactivity and so on. And it's almost like, yes, there is a need for help beyond the normal child rearing aspect. I mean, somebody like myself who's not involved like you folks are, you start to realize what is really out there. And that's the first part of what I wanted to say. The second part is the school districts. Is there a reluctance for the school districts to back away and say, just leave us alone? We don't want to get involved with that, only because of that one little dollar sign that's involved, because it does require monies to do that. Do you find yourself at loggerheads sometimes with school districts, Stephanie?
Well, I mean, there are better districts than others.
Okay.
We can all acknowledge this. And there are services that you can get through the district. I think the challenge that many of these parents face is that they don't know what they're entitled to.
They don't know their rights.
And they don't
and that's
know
what
how,
we do.
And
we,
that's what Sassy does.
That's what we bring them
but
that
before
knowledge.
Before Sassy, we had a problem.
There's still a problem, but
there's
we're working
problem,
on
but we're working
it.
On
we're
it.
Working
yeah.
on educating parents to know how to get the essential services. And one thing that we're doing right now that we're launching, which is why we do all these fundraisers that we've learned in the world of nonprofits in the short time we've been around, is it's all unfortunately all about the fundraising, because without money we can't do any of this.
Unfortunately,
And we just had our big Blue Party Gala in June, which we're extremely proud of, and we're going to continue to do events. Our next one is a poker and purses fundraiser.
Now, when is that going to be? I want to put information out there so folks.
Yeah, it's Friday, October 20th. It's at a restaurant called Bella Verde in Brentwood. And it's actually going to be a really fun event. We haven't done anything like this before. It's going to be a Texas Hold'em tournament. High-end prizes on that, timeshare in Orlando, and a lot of really
Ferragamo
nice prizes.
Bags.
Yeah, an
$1,800
Ferragamo bag, which I had my eye on, but I'm not eligible, so I'll back out.
Now, you know, people, if they're not available to, let's say, write this stuff down, you have a website where this would be posted, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Everything's posted at www.sassy.ny.org. And all the information is
on there. I attended the event in June, and I've gone to a lot of fundraisers, you know, being part of this program. You tend to get involved with a lot of different, you know, issues and things like that. And I've been to a lot of fundraisers. I'm going to say this to both of you. I've never been to a fundraiser like that. It had a cross-section of everybody. You name it right from the top to the bottom to this and that. Or just
it would be very reflective of if, you know, like some, if, you know, when you ask somebody, you know, if you had, you know, all... you know, all the money in the world and all the powers, who would you have at your dinner table? That was pretty much a reflection, yeah, because you had politicians, you had people of great wealth and celebrity, exactly, mixing and mingling with, you know,
middle class autism
parents.
Yeah.
And everybody was equal.
Yes.
You know, that's really our, that's our platform. Autism doesn't discriminate. But, you know, fundraising and things like that, what I'm discovering now even more, which you know, we're going to have to discuss and address on upcoming meetings. But what I'm seeing in the Latina community, as much as I braced myself, I couldn't possibly brace myself for what I saw. I went to our first meeting in Adelante in Brentwood, and I literally will tell you that, besides the school districts not doing the right thing by these parents because they're taking advantage of the fact that they are not educated about their rights, the doctors themselves that these poor parents have seen, they don't know that you have to go to a specific doctors to get a proper diagnosis. Doctors have told them, one family, that their son was 25% autistic. How does that happen?
Is there such a standard?
No.
Absolutely
it's
not.
It's like being 25% a redhead.
Exactly.
You're either are or you aren't, really.
You know, and other parents thinking they had a diagnosis, but when you look on their IEP, which is a report that the school gives you, there is no diagnosis. Another parent there, clearly the child had Down syndrome. I mean, that's a visual disability.
Yes.
The child's 7 years old. She's never gotten a diagnosis. I mean,
well, why do you think that is? I mean, this is the second decade of the 21st
century.
I mean,
fear and education. So my hope and intent for SASE is to bring all this information, you know, regarding support and resources and what to do and where to go to all communities. And we have seen, although we concentrate on autism, there's a lot of comorbid conditions that sort of tag along with it. So the other day I was trying to help an older cerebral palsy person. One of our politicians had sent them to me to basically gain employment. You know, they're coming by droves because apparently it's not just autism. There's sort of nothing like this, you know, boots on the ground, roll your sleeves up kind of organization out there, providing the information. Yeah.
Sorry. I also think there's a lot of fear about the label of autism. And I totally get it. I totally understand it. I've felt that fear myself. I did not even tell my son the word autism for quite a long time until really starting SASE kind of forced me out into the open. And I was a little worried about how, if his schoolmates knew and if people in the community knew.
But why did you think there was a negative stigma attached to it?
I think people have misconceptions about what autism is, first and foremost.
There's a joke. I figured it was something recently happened. I said, is it catching? Like, people think it's almost like AIDS. Like, AIDS used to be in the early 80s and mid 80s. It's like, my child can't hang out with your kid because then they'll become autistic by association.
But isn't that the information aspect of what SASE
Absolutely.
Does?
Absolutely. And in all fairness, I had those same feelings before I was in this world. I probably would have acted just like everybody else and not understood it and kind of had misconceptions about what it is and not realize that these children on the inside are really like every other child. They have the same wants and needs. It's just that sometimes the behaviors get in the way of people understanding them.
Recently, yesterday or whatever, it's a saying I've seen quite often in general, but this particular teacher in England wrote sort of like an article or a blog that said she was sorry to her autism parents that she had taught all these years, because up until now, having a child with autism, she really didn't understand it. She went into great length explaining. And then she sort of ended the article by saying, I understand that you are different, not less. And that could not be more true. There are so many possibilities now that I see. I'm more hopeful now, certainly, than I was when I
initially
got diagnosed.
Stephanie Mendelson and a Priscilla Arena to have to create a group in order to really put this perspective where it should be, as opposed to not coming from the medical community? I mean, this is just a rhetorical question out there. It concerns me that it's almost like the folks have to really get involved. Because if the folks don't get involved, the medical community just comes out with things. I mean, you mentioned a few minutes ago that improper diagnosis or this 25% autistic.
Yep.
When your research, which is more accurate than the person with 12 years of college education, is inaccurate. That frightens me. You have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think, you know, the medical community has their place and they do a good job in a lot of respects.
Oh, they got a lot to do.
You know,
but I mean, I think it's that they focus on the clinical aspect.
Okay. Right.
This is so much more than a clinical diagnosis.
Well, you've proven that.
It's not like cancer where it's more cut and dry that you have cancer, you have to find what the best treatment is, and then you go get the treatment and you either get better or you don't get better. Autism is they call it a spectrum for a reason. There's a whole wealth of social, emotional, and medical conditions that are involved in autism. It's a complex disease and it needs to be addressed as such. And I think we're addressing the things that the clinicians will never address.
Well, who knows it better than the people who love your children and so on? Who knows?
And
it
live, breathe, and walk it. I mean, it's silly. Yeah. We, on our last support group meeting, we had a very traditional support group meeting, and we really did just the simple sharing parent to parent. And we all had a tremendous laugh amongst each other talking about our children, let's say from 10 to 20 something, mainly boys, and sort of their sexual inappropriateness, because they cannot read social cues and they don't necessarily know the proper etiquettes, and all of those things need to be taught, hence our life skills program and some of the other things. But we all got to get, only autism parents would understand that. And get a laugh out of it. You know, one of my, somebody with a child that's 18 now told me, whatever you do, don't get a sock monkey or something like that. I said, okay. And then I put two and two together or whatever. But,
that's something you're not going to go to call your pediatrician.
Exactly. Right, okay.
And
exactly.
Ask his advice on that. You know. So those are the kinds of things we try to help give parents advice on, and not from us, but get people who are qualified to address those issues.
When we do think about it. You know, when I was at your event, you had some of the children there I had seen at the event, and just delightful. I mean, it's obviously the support that you've shown works. It's not going to be, as Stephanie mentioned, the word clinical.
No.
It's not going to be any sort of a clinical help when it comes to it.
In a nutshell, basically, the people who don't necessarily understand, like let's say you see a child and they're somewhat verbal or nonverbal or extremely quiet or whatever that are on the spectrum, the general public doesn't understand that they genuinely want what everybody else wants, which is simply to be loved, accepted, have relationships, you know, compassion, understanding, share interests with other people. They are literally not different. Their brains are just wired differently.
So the children today who are diagnosed at an early age have a much better chance at, and I hate to use this word, normal life.
Yeah.
You know, because I've never in my life been able to describe what normal is. But let's say a mainstream life or whatever you want to say, much better chance today.
Yes. I think that we have to, there's a long, 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 and long way to come in terms of getting the general public up to snuff with what it actually is. There's just so much. Just like years ago, I hate to say this, and I'm using AIDS, and it's a terrible example, but my mind keeps coming back to the 80s about, you know, if someone had AIDS, you couldn't shake their hand, right? Because you're going to, that kind of ignorance. It kind of still exists in our community with the general public. But again, just, you know, knowledge is power, spreading that word, you know?
Stephanie, I'll give you the final word. We've just got about 20, 30 seconds left. Websites, phone numbers, support groups. How can people find out all about this?
The website obviously is the best way to get in touch with us. It's www.sassyny.org, SASINY.org. We have a calendar of events on there. If you have specific questions, feel free to email us. Our numbers are on there. Our email is sassygroupinfo@gmail.com.
October 20th.
Right. Poker and Purses, October 20th. You can buy tickets right on the website. whether you are involved or have a child with autism, it's going to be a really fun night. Bring some friends, get a table, come get involved. We truly are a family.
Yes.
We're very accepting to everyone. We have people with all different personalities in our family, and we welcome everyone. So we'd love to have, that's a great way to support, come to an event.
Thank you.
I want to say congratulations to both of you and the great work that you're doing. Priscilla Arena, Stephanie
Thank
Wilson,
you.
Thank you.
Sassy Long Island, and we're certainly going to be bringing you guys back because it's such an important issue here on Long Island. We're at the end of the show. The 2 o'clock hour is upon us. That means breaking it down with the great Frank McKay. I want everybody to have a great and safe weekend. We'll just keep our eye on the news, and best of luck to our brothers and sisters in Florida. We'll see you all tomorrow. I'll see you all Monday. See you all Monday.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through.